One bank says no to monthly debit card fees. Will other big banks follow suit?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. J.P. Morgan Chase has decided not to charge a monthly fee for its debit cards. Bank analysts say it looks like other major banks will follow suit, follow that example. They've been watching Bank of America get pummeled with consumer complaints after it announced plans for a $5 a month fee. Jean Ann Fox is Director of Financial Services with the Consumer Federation of America. She's with us now from New York to talk about it. Hey, Jean.
Hi.
I think we know why J.P. Morgan did this. I think the question now is, what are they going to do to make up for it? I mean, they really want to raise some money, right?
Well, banks are looking for lots of ways to make money from their customers. They're raising fees. They're raising the minimum balances. They're raising what you pay per month if you can't jump through all the hoops to avoid monthly fees. So, yeah, banks are on the lookout for revenue.
Is there a threshold, Jean, you think that people will accept these kinds of fees? I mean, they know banks are businesses, right, that they have to make money.
Sure. And we've supported explicit upfront fees that consumers can see when they're opening a bank account and they can decide if they want to pay it. We've been particularly alarmed about the gotcha fees that show up on the back end, such as overdraft or deposit item return fees, fees that you don't expect to rack up, you don't know you're incurring them at the time, and that make banking really expensive.
Why do you think there wasn't this backlash with ATM machines when they started charging, you know, a buck or two or $3 a pop to get money out?
There was a concerted campaign against what were called foreign ATM fees. The U.S. Public Interest Research Group surveyed and blasted and put out information about that for quite a while.
Do you think that that the backlash will on these debit card fees will go away and they'll implement them later?
I think the debit card fee struck people as sort of the last straw, that it was a good, easy to understand, objectionable kind of thing. But banks change their fees all the time. You'll get an addendum with your bank account agreement. Generally, it's in the form of a boring looking piece of paper in the bank statement. So I would think that banks are trying a lot of different things to find ways to bring in more revenue, and consumers need help in being good shoppers, and that's why we think the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has a role to play here.
Jean Ann Fox, Director of Financial Services at the Consumer Federation of America. Jean, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are down, not by much. The S&P and NASDAQ each off about a quarter of a percent. The Dow is off a fraction of a percent, 7 points at 12,200. The Commerce Department said today consumer spending rose in September by 0.6%. At the same time, we aren't saving as much, though, and our incomes are not growing. Global shares were mixed today. European shares closed down for the most part. Asian markets ended the day up. Just a day after a big announcement to help the European debt crisis, the head of the Eurozone bailout fund is in Beijing today, asking for money to help raise the size of the bailout account by tens of billions of dollars. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
The Europeans plan to boost the firepower of their bailout fund to $1.4 trillion. European governments cannot afford or do not want to put up the extra cash themselves, so they're asking China to make an investment. The Chinese have the biggest foreign currency reserves in the world, and they've already put 6 billion euros into the bailout fund. But China expert Kerry Brown from the Chatham House think tank says a request for a much bigger sum might raise a few eyebrows in China.
You've got a kind of eurozone where the per capita GDP is at least seven times what it is in China, and yet they're being asked to come and bail out, you know, Europe. And it's a perception issue. You know, it's the sort of idea that they are having to help out rich countries remain rich.
But he believes the Chinese may be ready to help their biggest export market, the eurozone, and they do want to diversify away from their huge US dollar holdings. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
This morning, before dawn, from the central California coast, NASA launched a new $1.5 billion weather satellite. Now, the new equipment will help predict and even reduce the cost of extreme weather events. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports, knowing more farther ahead of time could bring the eventual cost of those disasters down.
Compared to a huge space shuttle launch, a weather satellite doesn't look so impressive, says Andrew Carson at NASA.
It's about 14 and a half feet long, so it's equivalent to a medium-sized SUV.
But the data that humble satellite transmits is invaluable, says scientist Mitch Goldberg at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. His lab calculated weather forecasts without satellites. Remember when Snowmageddon dumped more than 2 feet of snow on the East Coast? Without satellite data,
the forecast was only 7 to 10 inches of snow. So you can imagine what the big economic impact of that would be. I mean, you wouldn't be able to plan days in advance on how to mitigate severe snow events.
In addition to weather patterns, the satellite also carries new technology to measure land and sea temperature, ozone levels, crop productivity, and more. All that data is offered free to the public, and it's used to do everything from predicting droughts and disease to coming up with insurance rates. I'm Eve Tro from Marketplace.
Finally, The Hollywood Reporter says Samuel L. Jackson made it into the Guinness Book of World Records. He's the highest-grossing actor of all time. Jackson's made more than 100 films, including the Star Wars prequels, which have earned more than $7.4 billion. All those movies for all that money, and he can still fend off snakes from inside an airplane. Impressive. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The EU has spoken, and at least for now, Greece is back from the brink. But some of its citizens are still going to vote with their feet.
I know a lot of people, young adults such as myself, are actually going to colleges outside of Greece.
I'm Bob Moon. The Exodus, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.